We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, and a happy Wednesday to you as you're listening to this, because happy Wednesday, because the Yankees are actually mathematically above the fucking Red Sox in the standings. I did not think that was possible. I didn't think that was we were going to see that this year. Not even close. When the Yankees,
I had to tell you,
devastated on July 25th, leaving Fenway Park.
I tried to tell
you. He didn't try and tell me shit.
Tried to tell you. Look, this team is, I mean, ever since the All-Star break, I mean, really, the trade deadline, they're just different. It's unbelievable how they can completely change and transform into this other team. And, you know, we were asking at one point, like, does the talent actually show up? Because the talent, in theory, has been there. But do they actually show up? Showing up. Talent showing up. They're there. They're showing up. They're pitching well. The guys that you know, don't have massive roles are playing well. Tyler Wade is back as if he never left.
Whoa, 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 as if he ever existed. What are you talking about back? When was he ever here?
He peaked as the last man on the bench. He is now no longer the last man on the bench. He is closer to the second to last man on the bench. But the guy is doing what he's supposed to do. It's like they woke up and were like, you know what?
He's got a 500 on base percentage in his last like 45 plate appearances.
Because he's not trying to be Albert Pujols. I think Albert Pujols screwed him up when he was trying to redo his swing. Do you remember when he worked out with Pujols?
Yes,
that was like 4 years ago. Like what bizarro world is Tyler Wade working out with Albert Pujols? How does that even work? No, you need to work out with Ichiro and like everybody else who could just scrap their ass to get on base. It doesn't matter how you get on. Just make contact on the ground every time and run. And don't stop. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you say the talent is coming out and they're finally playing. Certainly. Like they've got guys who have performed better. But also, I mean, the entire left side of the infield is not there right now. Gary Sanchez just got back today. They had to add Gallo, who's had a lot of big hits over the past week. And so there's still a lot of different pieces who are now performing well. And they're, but it's a complete change in everything. Complete change in mentality. Like, I was thinking about it when Judge stole the base tonight. The Yankees are up 2-0. The Yankees, if they were up 2-0 in May, they don't even think about stealing a base.
They don't think about stealing a base in May, period.
I know, they're station to station. They could only win one way. It was infuriating to watch because if they hit a two-run home run, okay, good. They're going to score runs. If they didn't hit a two-run home run, they're not going to score runs. And I know Judge didn't end up scoring. The funny thing is, the only way the Yankees scored in the second game was on solo home runs. But it's just, for whatever reason, when Judge stole that base, I'm like this is just a completely different mentality. I don't know what switch was flipped, what caused it.
The nerd switch was turned off. The nerd switch was turned off.
You said that a couple weeks ago, and I kind of like poo-pooed it.
Odor is going to left field. He's bunting. They're running on bases. I didn't even hate last night.
Opposite field approach is not nerd or not nerd.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is, because the nerds are putting that fielder in right, in short right. So they're going against the nerd mentality of doing these are the numbers. That's why they're doing it. And the nerds say, just keep hitting into the numbers. Keep hitting there, because it's going to work. Don't change your mentality. You do what you got to do, and you keep going. You don't stop. The test of time, it will work. But you know what? What got me last night, and people were mad about this. I saw you tweet about it. I don't know what your feelings were about the actual play itself. But last night, when DJ LeMahieu got thrown out of third base,
That was bad.
I'm like, but you know what?
Okay. No, that's bad.
No. You know what? Okay, because they had a read. It was a bet. He second-guessed himself. You could tell it. They were talking about it. It was clear as day. But his initial instinct and jump, he had the base. If he didn't slow down at the very top of it again, then he would have had it. I like the aggressiveness. That's my point. Because they haven't done it. You know, it takes reps to execute something well. And DJ LeMahieu's out there with, I don't know what they've established as a green light, or just use your instincts. And if you see it, do it. And instincts were there. He had it. He just hesitated. But I like the aggressiveness. I like the aggressiveness. You're trying to get two runners in scoring position with less than two outs. With no outs, actually, because that was the first out, right?
It was the first out at third base.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Because guess what? It's not going to work sometimes. And when it doesn't work, when you're an aggressive team, when it doesn't work, it looks ugly. But the mentality of being an aggressive team, you have to be willing to take those chances. Especially in off cases when you're like DJ LeMahieu on second base with a left-handed batter up
and
going
to
third with no outs. No one's running on that. Like, exactly. That's exactly what everybody's thinking. So I don't hate it. I don't hate the mentality.
I guess maybe it does sound a little hypocritical for me to say on one hand, I like Aaron Judge running tonight when the Yankees are up by two runs. It really was an inconsequential stolen base. But I don't like the LeMahieu one. It's just they wasted so many opportunities in the Anaheim game to score runs with guys on base. They left bases loaded, nobody out in that game.
But that's kind of part of why they're doing that, right? They're trying to get a runner on third with no outs. Worst case scenario, he gets thrown out of third. You still have a runner in scoring position on second base because who was a Judge behind him is running.
Gallo was up. It's not the smartest of baseball plays. I understand.
I don't
if you're
want
trying
them to
be
play
aggressive.
Smart and conservative. Well, you I still want
no.
I'm
not smart and conservative are not. Look at you drinking the red wine out of those.
Don't worry about it. It's a red wine night.
That threw me for a loop. Just a little behind the curtain here. It is 10:10 p.m. Scott and I figured let's just jump on the podcast, talk about the sweep of the doubleheader, and he had been hiding the red wine glass.
I have not been hiding it. It's been sitting on the desk.
I haven't seen it. It's been off camera. And then all of a sudden, he turns and just like daintily picks up a wine glass and takes a sip. That threw me for a loop.
It's hard to drink wine when you're talking too damn much. So I was trying to give you a moment and just sit back and relax.
I don't think I think conservative play is not the same thing as smart play. I think smart play is you can still steal bases and be aggressive, but you just have to do it in the right situation. And I don't think that was the best of situations to try and steal.
A smart play is taking advantage of what you have, and instinctually, LeMahieu had it.
He had it. He can't hesitate there. You have to go.
You're right. He cannot hesitate there, and next time he will not hesitate. But that was, I'm holding a Q-tip like I'm shaking it like a gavel. I have very strange things happening right now.
What the hell do you have in your office? Glass of red wine and a Q-tip. What are you doing over there?
The thing is that I like it. I like it. And everybody was big mad on Twitter that he got thrown out, and I didn't give up. I'm sitting there like—
People were big mad because they wasted—
Sitting there like, no problem.
They had the bases loaded in the sixth inning, and Stanton strikes out, looked terrible, and then Voit grounded into a double play. And they have the two runners on in the eighth inning. And meanwhile, this is a 2-1 ball game that you're trying to add some insurance runs to. And they ran themselves out of that inning. So that's why people were big mad.
That's fine. All they're trying to do is get to a point where they can either scrap a run across with a ground ball or a fly ball. Because, and then again, worst case scenario for me, still had a runner behind him to get a guy in scoring position. So I didn't mind it right there. I mean, you're looking at DJ LeMahieu doing it. That's another story. But his instincts had it. So. And again, what does this mean, though? What does this mean? Does this mean that Aaron Boone is like, you know what, guys? We're playing sandlot baseball. I want you guys to feel the game and do what you think. Use your instincts. Because ever since we're calling for this guy's freaking head, and I still think justifiably so, you get the additions that Cashman adds at the deadline. They are like rocket fuel behind this team. It changes the complexion of the team. COVID hits. Knocks them down, and they're a bunch of scrappy guys again. It's like they couldn't use the analytics because the analytics are like, the nerds are like, guys, I'm sorry, but we don't have enough information to give you on the current existing roster, so you're kind of on your own. And Boone's like, let's go. You guys do what you got to do. We're going to steal bases. We're going to hit and run. We're going to bunt. We're going to hit the opposite way, away from the shift. We're just going to do all the things that everybody tells us not to do, but what our baseball instincts do tell us.
I'm gonna put the guy that you tell me can only DH out in the outfield a couple days a week because he is still a baseball player.
Was it three nights in a row? Three games in a row? Wasn't he out there? I think it's the third game in a row.
Well, he was out there in the first. He was out there
3 days.
Tonight he was out there. Yeah. But he didn't start the first game of the day. Didn't he come in pinch hitting in the first game?
I caught up late on the first game.
Well, you ready for a little conspiracy theory on Aaron Boone? So you say maybe he is just telling the nerds to shove it and he's doing what he wants to do. What if he's got the mentality of, I have nothing to lose. If I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to lose my job. If I don't do what they say to do and we lose, well, I'm losing my job anyway. But if I try and do something different and we win, maybe I can save my job. There was something posted in our Facebook group by Matt Sperling. He asked, and he mentioned something interesting. I'm going to read it. He said, who else was listening to John and Susan's pregame show on Monday? When Susan was talking to Boone during the manager's report, maybe I was just reading into things, but some of the answers he gave really sounded like he was a guy that has already been told his contract will not be renewed. He said how the clubhouse has developed something special over the last 4 years. He said something to the effect of finishing up strong over these last 2 months. Like I said, maybe I'm reading something into it. Did anyone else catch that? What if Aaron Boone has been told, we're not renewing your contract? And he's no just saying, F it. He is managing like a guy who has nothing to worry about next year. He's no longer going to be Brian Cashman's puppet. He's no longer going to just answer to the analytics department. He's going to manage a baseball game like a baseball manager.
Conspiracy theory or no conspiracy theory on that, I don't care why he's doing it or why this team is playing the way it is, but they better take a look in the goddamn mirror and understand that this is the best way for them to ever play. I mean, honestly, every baseball team should look in the mirror and say the same thing, because the analytics are, while useful in certain situations, should not run a team, nor should it control how they operate on the field on a day-to-day basis. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I hate it. And I'm glad they're not doing it. I'm glad they're playing with their eyeballs and not their computers, and they're out there grinding, taking bags, doing what they're supposed to do, because baseball at the end of the day is such, such a feel game, and just going up there and just see the ball, hit the ball, like take out the bullshit and cut it down to a simple task one at a time. And that's what it is. And that's what they're doing. And I love it.
So you didn't mind DJ LeMahieu running with nobody out. Did you mind Aaron Boone bringing in Zach Britton, a guy who 48 hours prior said, I'm not ready to pitch in key situations right now. I'm not mentally there right now. Brought him in to relieve Gerrit Cole, who was at 90 pitches.
That was the sixth. Did he come in in the sixth? He came in the sixth to finish.
To face the lefty Walsh with the go-ahead run at the plate. And he struck him out. Cole was at 90 pitches. Mm-hmm. And you bring in Zach Britton, lefty on lefty. I mean, in theory, it's a good matchup. Britton, also in theory, is a ground ball pitcher. He's not going to give up a two-run home run. But this is also a guy who has been absolutely lost on the mound for the past 2 or 3 weeks and told people, I'm not good to pitch in key situations right now. Brought him in a key situation.
Did he say key situation or did he say save?
He said save situation. What's the difference?
So, well, apparently there's a difference. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the lefty-lefty move. Like, okay. Maybe this is an opportunity. One out. One guy. Get this guy. One guy.
End of the inning. Yeah.
Coming in different. Not starting a new inning.
No three-batter rule or anything like that. Because if you get him out, I mean, it could have gone horribly if he walked him. If he walked him or something, then it's like you're stuck. But
could have gone horribly. Could have absolutely been horrible. If it didn't work, I would be killing Boone right now. But it did work. So I'm going to be very honest with you. When it works, it looks better, clearly. But he was trying to put him in a position that was different, because it was different. I will say that. It was a different type of position than Britton's been in. Again, not having a clean inning, coming in, you know, pitching from the stretch, being a guy that has a different type of pressure because you're coming in for literally this one batter. When I saw him coming in that moment, I didn't hate it even before anything happened. Again, for whatever reason, because you have to get that guy back into the game. You can't just not throw him. And I know the other day we were talking about bringing him in non-leverage situations. Well, the way that the Yankees play in 2021, those just don't exist, apparently. Every game is a high leverage game.
He did have other options. Joely Rodriguez pitched later in that game. He could have brought in He could have brought in Rodriguez to face the lefty. So it's not like Britton was his only lefty option.
Right. And, you know, this isn't a nerd thing. This is just a matchup thing. The people have been keeping, you know, box scores for years. So there's a history of a guy versus a guy. I don't know what the matchup history was for them. Could have been good. Could have been a good matchup in the style of each of the guys. Whatever it was, it worked. Did we hear anything about what that conversation was in the dugout? Because it was very, very deliberate. Boone and Britton both had very deliberate things to say to each other. And, you know, you listened to the peanut gallery and you could go either way on what they said. I didn't hear the post game, so I'm not sure exactly what they said. I'm not speaking with any context after the game, but my thought was like Boone just being very stern. Like, you are that guy. You are that fucking guy. Like, you can pitch in these moments. And just being very serious about it and like telling him matter of fact, and Britton saying something along the same lines, like, yes, I know, I could be that guy. I am that guy. I am that guy. Just a brainwash session right then and there. It was like, you know, like, but they were being very serious about it and you couldn't tell. That was my guess.
You sound like a pretty big Aaron Boone fan in this episode.
Look, I like what he's been doing lately. I'm not gonna be.
It's no secret when the team.
I'm not gonna go against the
team wins. Everyone's happier with the manager. Like, it's not. This is not new.
It's the way they're winning. It's the way they are winning.
Yeah.
It's not the same. It's not like they're doing the same shit and all of a sudden the ball is just flying out of the park and they're winning games because of that. No, they're winning games because of the style of play that they're putting out on the field. They're being more aggressive. They are playing a different brand of baseball right now. And it's working. Because not only is the baseball working on the field, but my God, are these guys different emotionally getting behind it. Freaking, you get some insertion of life too with a guy named Luis Gil, who comes in tonight, throws what, he passed Jabba for 15. The third.
You want to hear some wacky things on Luis Gil? So his ERA still remains zero. He's the first pitcher in the modern era, which is since 1900, with 18 plus strikeouts and zero runs allowed in his first three career Major League Baseball games. Also, Scranton resumed a game that was in the middle of a rain delay on July 17th, and they resumed it today. So, according to the history books, Luis Gil is the starting pitcher in two games that ended on July 17th, one in the majors, one in AAA. That's probably also never happened before. And that is going to confuse the shit out of somebody doing a podcast in 20 years from now, looking up Luis Gil stats, being like, wait, what happened? What is going on?
Because they're looking at the AAA box scores too. We
do that all the time when we're looking up like stats on a guy, like, oh, this guy's getting called up. Like, well, what happened? What did he do?
Didn't that happen last year when someone got traded to another team and they played for the opposite team when a game resumed?
I don't know about that. But when Juan Soto was first called up back in, was that 2000?
I was thinking Nationals in my head. So,
the Juan Soto thing was that 2019 that Juan Soto was called up or 2018?
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember. We lost a year, so who knows?
So Juan Soto was called up when it was facing the Yankees. And the Yankees made up a game from earlier in the season against the Nationals, and Juan Soto pinch hit in the game that they made up, even though he wasn't in the majors when the game was originally started. So his major league,
I think that was 2019. So wasn't he a rookie when they won the World Series?
I think so. So his major league debut, what they thought was his major league debut, what really was his major league debut, technically on like Baseball Reference, is not his actual major league
debut. Because he's in the box score for that.
He's in the box score for a game that had happened before he was technically called up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to, I wonder if that messes with
service time.
Service time, yeah.
There's
got to be some loophole there.
By a couple of weeks, I guess. Another thing I want to mention from the doubleheader today. So I thought the Yankees got back Gerrit Cole on Monday. I thought he picked up like pretty much. He hadn't missed any time. His stuff looked really good. I know they weren't going to push him that high in a pitch count. So 90 pitches is probably what
they were saying.
Had
90. He left at 90.
At 90. Yeah.
Even though Boone's like, there's no hard number that we're going to 90 exactly.
Yeah. Montgomery today, I thought his stuff actually was pretty good. He was getting a lot of swings and misses, specifically on his curveball. And there was a key at bat against Xander Bogaerts with two runners on. And I believe, what was that? I forget what inning it was. But it was two outs. Xander Bogaerts up, and he had him 0-2. And he had just made him look foolish on a curveball. And David Cone was saying, Montgomery's curveball is really fooling Bogaerts right now. Like, they were talking about it. Don't throw him a fastball. Just keep it with the off-speed pitches because he's getting swings and misses. And he threw him an 0-2 fastball right at belt high, and he hit a two-run single. It's like, I question that pitch selection. It's just not smart pitch selection. And I think it could have been a key moment in the game. Luckily, the Yankees ended up winning the game. But for a second there, it looked like the Red Sox were going to win that game because they took the lead.
Yeah, it was, I saw the tail end of the game because I had meetings pretty much all day long. But it looks like his stuff wasn't bad, like for the most part, Montgomery.
That's what I said. He was getting swings and misses. It was just a poor pitch selection. Like, Bogaerts was all over the fastball. It's just like, don't throw him an 0-2 fastball down the middle of the plate. Like, that's just a bad pitch.
I mean, an 0-2 fastball over the plate is just a bad pitch forever.
Yeah, but if you elevate it, like, letter high or something like that to try and set up a curveball, but it's just like, that didn't seem like what he was doing. It looked like he was just trying to, like, get a fastball by him. It's like,
he also might have just missed location.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Gary Sanchez came out in front of the plate to catch the ball when it looked like he could have had a tag play. And he ended up getting Bogarts, who was straight off first base. And people were killing him for that. I don't know. It would have been a bang-bang play. Either way, just questionable sequence of events that happened there with Montgomery and Gary Sanchez.
Well, they won the game, and they won. And as John Sterling says, it's very difficult to sweep a doubleheader, and they did it against the Boston Red Sox.
First time this
year. And now they're ahead of the Boston Red Sox.
By one percentage point.
By one percentage point, and they're in the wild card.
And the Yankees are going for the sweep tomorrow with, oh crap, it's Andrew Heaney on the mound.
Ah, son of a bitch. Maybe who's pitching for them?
I don't know why he's getting another start. It's I know there's probably like a body situation. It's like no one else is available because they had the doubleheader today and then they just got two guys back off the COVID list. But I'm sorry. We've all seen enough of Andrew Heaney. Watch him go out there and pitch 6 shutout innings tomorrow. But really, like, enough with the Andrew Heaney experience.
4 home runs for the
Red
Sox.
Did you spill your red wine?
I did.
That's just what you get. You deserve.
My finger stuck to the glass and it just like kept going.
You're wearing a white shirt too. It's dangerous all around.
I'm not worried about the white shirt. Hold on. I'm looking up who's pitching tomorrow night because I'm wondering if. So we got Heaney versus Pivetta. Okay. Look, this is lining up for the Bizarro Yankees to sweep. That's what this is lining up for because in every situation in the first half of the season, Yankees, if they take the first two, they lose the third one, no doubt. Mm. We have one of the worst pitchers in baseball, Andrew Heaney, at minimum 3 home runs given up, going for the sweep at home against a guy who's had some mild success this year. Feels like it should be an easy loss, which means they're going to sweep and win.
I guess the last thing that we should mention is that freaking awesome play by Peralta. On the line drive back off him. That ball lined off of him and it bounced towards the line. I'm like, there's no chance it's going to be, what would that have been? One run in and first and second? And he just fired.
There was a runner on third, yeah.
Yeah, so one run in and it would have been first and second. And he just fired. I was like, that was a damn good play by Peralta.
That fired me up. First of all, Luis Gil, I keep wanting to say Gil, but it's not. It's Gil. In the, you know, watching him react to Wandy Peralta's getting out of it is just amazing. It gets it gets that, as J-Lo would say on American Idol, the goosies on my arms, because the guy is just like,
hold on a minute. Why are you quoting J-Lo from American Idol?
I'm just trying to rub some salt in the wound for A-Rod, really. It's just A-Rod hate, actually. Just be bringing up J-Lo. That's just what I'm doing. But when I see that guy, just pure raw, like, youthful emotion on the side, just fired up. I mean, this guy giving a big hug. Peralta goes in for the handshake at the end. He goes in for, like, the dap. And Heel just gives him this giant hug.
Like, no. We're all vaccinated. We're doing hugs.
Yeah. Come on. I don't care if we're vaccinated. Let's go. Bring it in. And just gives him this bit. He's got electric energy. I said it the first time he threw. He does remind me of like a young Luis Severino. It reminds me of the 3 years that we've missed of Luis Severino.
Who see the news on him
yesterday
today?
Got an MRI and we still don't know.
No, they're sending it for a second opinion. That's not
awesome.
Good.
Yeah. So yeah,
that means the first opinion, the guy was like, this doesn't look so great. And they're like, we got to get a second opinion on this. No one goes,
like the MRI was clean, but there's still something that doesn't feel right. So why is that? The MRI was clean. Let's go to another guy. Maybe he could see something.
Is it good either way?
Well, the second scenario is better than the first scenario. You know, maybe the second guy also sees nothing. And then maybe he just had a dead arm or something. You know, funny bone. Who knows? Could have been weird. No, it's not good. But Luis Heel feels like that energy for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's downright just a lot of fun to watch the team right now. And it was just so unfun to watch the team before the trade deadline. So...
it's amazing how fast that changed. It happened so fast.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox certainly had to collapse a little bit for them to catch them this quickly, but credit to the Yankees for playing their asses off for three straight weeks. They basically did the opposite. The Yankees won basically as many games as the Red Sox lost over the past X number of weeks. So
let's call it 14 days. Do you know who's been the best hitter on the Yankees in the last 14 days?
Tyler Wade.
500
on base.
X factor. There you go.
Aaron Judge has been pretty good in that 2 week span.
Yeah, he's been all right too.
Brett Gardner
been all right too. Brett Gardner's been phenomenal on defense. Another good defensive play tonight. Keeping that ball in front of him. He's just been so good in the field. He really has. And this is something, one of the pieces that, like, in theory, I know they only scored two runs in the second game, but you just need good defense in center field more than you need any bat coming from that player. I kind of don't care what they do offensively. I need a strong defender up the middle. That's the biggest, if we're not going for the best lineup and putting either Judge or Gallo in center, and we have a guy like Gardner or whoever is playing in there on that given day, it's just got to be phenomenal defense. And that's it. They don't really need to produce with the bat. It doesn't need to come from every single spot in the lineup. Brett Gardner is enough. He absolutely is enough for them in center field.
And he'll be a good, I think he's going to still get a lot of regular playing time when Rizzo comes back. I think they're going to try and get Voit's bat in the lineup because he's starting to hit a little bit. And so I think you're going to get Voit, DH, Stanton left, Judge right. No, it would be, what would they do? Would they do Stanton center, Judge?
Stanton center,
I mean,
no.
Sorry. It's gonna be, Stanton right, Judge center, Gallo left. Would that be the alignment?
Yeah, or they could put Stanton in left, Judge in right, and Gallo in center, because Gallo's played center field a number of times.
Has he played? I feel like Judge has played center more like on the Yankees.
For the Yankees, yes, but he played with the Rangers. He played center.
But has Gallo played center with the Yankees yet? I don't think he has. I think they've
I think there was an appearance out there. I feel like I've seen him in there, but I could be wrong. Yeah. Either way, it doesn't matter to me. Because center field at Yankee Stadium is like, you know, it's not that serious.
Gallo has played big. The left center field gap's pretty big. I think left and center at Yankee Stadium are pretty difficult as far as coverage range that you have to have.
That's fine, but I think right field, I mean, covers some of those gaps too.
Angles.
So, for example, at
Fenway Park,
it's ranging towards left field.
At Fenway Park, right field is the hardest. Center field's actually easier than right field at Fenway Park because right field is just so massive at Fenway.
Yeah, but center field is tricky as shit there too.
It's tricky. Left field and center field are tricky because of the wall. The whole stadium's
the whole outfield is just weird.
All right, that's gonna wrap it up for this episode. We will be back with a Friday Fives, but we just figured we had to get on and record and react because pretty excited that the Yankees have actually passed the Red Sox, even if it might only be for a few hours, because who knows what happens with Ant freaking Heaney on the mound. Talk to you guys on Friday.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.